This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 7th, 2025. We are 7 days into the new year. Coming up this morning, this hour, we'll talk to Congressman Mark Pocan. The new Congress is underway. They are planning to usher in a second Trump administration and trying to pass everything that he wants in one bill. An interesting tactic that we'll talk to the congressman about. We'll also have Chad Holmes coming up later as well. In today's history segment, we didn't get to this part, but related to Congress, it was 1 year ago today that the longest ever election for Speaker of the House since 1860 took place, when Kevin McCarthy needed 15 ballots before there was a middle-of-the-night resolution to gridlock within the Republican caucus. 15 ballots 1 year ago today, and then he was dumped after less than 9 months in the post. Can't believe that was only 1 year ago today. You can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the page. In today's newsletter, Christina Lurie is talking pizza, in part because Wisconsin is so well known for pizza cheese, all the cheese that we produce that goes on pizzas all over the country. But the pizzas we produce here are pretty darn good as well, and nationally ranked in some instances. And so you can read more about that. But also, Christina asks you to take part in a little poll, to send a note by email, or you could even text something to us here at the radio show about your favorite pizzas. And there's a few different ways that you could go about doing that. You could either call the show, 855-75-CIVIC, or send us a text, or call us or text us from the Civic Media app, or put a comment in the sections on our Facebook page or our YouTube page, or email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And we ask four different things. What is your favorite standalone pizza shop? Not a chain. What's your favorite local pizza shop? Give it a shout out. What is your favorite chain? Are you a Pizza Hut person, a Domino's person, whatever the case may be? Do you have a favorite frozen brand of pizza? And there are a lot of frozen pizza brands here in Wisconsin. Do you have a favorite one? And then finally, what is your favorite single topping? Across the country, it's pepperoni, but in Wisconsin, it's sausage. What about you? What do you like to put on your pizza? So you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, as we try to take the temperature of what folks like on their pizzas. Brittany Merlot joins us now with some weather to warm up by a pizza oven by, with the temperatures being as they are in the single digits, even below zero, two below up in Hayward right now. Brittany, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys? Can you hear me?
Yep. Hear you perfectly. Yes. Although, Rob says, Brittany, I hope and pray you are feeling better. And says, could we have snow on Sunday? Rob says, I'm hungry for pizza, especially homemade, and love taco pizza. Mm. Rob wishes us good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, 8 degrees, the wind chills at 2. I use my social media sites for taking pictures of nature, scenery, and weather events. He says, I'm working on a bedroom at my house and turning it into my Highway 29 room.
Wow.
I did a history on that highway over the years with maps and construction plans and things like that. So we have these really nice sentiments from Rob in Tigerton. And then we have Tony up in Ashland going, any pizza with sausage and pineapple.
No.
Is the best.
Yeah, that's
no.
fine.
No.
Hey,
no.
Hey.
You can't put pineapple on a pizza. Why? Stop.
Yes, you can. You can absolutely put pineapple on a pizza. It's fine.
Would I put pepperoni and sausage in a pina colada? No, I would not. No. Because each one has its own place. Pineapple, your place.
I feel like exactly. you're not really, one, respecting his right to eat pizza however he darn well pleases.
You're calling me a fruitist, aren't you?
I'm calling you a snob is what I'm calling you.
Oh, yeah, I'm guilty on that. My goodness. Why don't you go ahead and call me elite while you're at it?
I whined and moaned about pineapple on pizza for years. 4 years. And someone finally said, have you ever tried it? And I said, no. And they said, try it. And I tried it. I'm like, I like pineapple on pizza. Darn it.
Pineapple with tomatoes. I'm just not.
It's a contrast in flavors. If you've never had it, you can't say you don't like it. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. I'm just saying, gross. You don't know. You don't know. Try it.
From the Italian, it just doesn't belong. I just don't think it belongs.
Thank you, Brittany. And that's today's Point Counterpoint with Brittany and Greg. Tune in tomorrow when we do pasta favorites. We'll just go through all the, no, it's got to be rigatoni. Let's get back to the weather, shall we? Where, again, it's still cold. A little cold wave that's going to continue for a bit here. Not a big surprise. So.
Nope, not a surprise at all, right? Temperatures ranging from 4 below in Kings all the way to 19 degrees in Washington Island. We're looking at clear skies right now. It will be partly cloudy by the afternoon and chances of some light lake effect snow, especially off of Lake Superior, just about a trace to an inch possible, maybe 2 inches towards Hurley. Otherwise, though, highs will hit the low to mid-20s today. The winds are much calmer than they've been, so not much of a wind chill factor, but still just feeling that crisp, cold air. Tomorrow, still cold, highs only in the teens statewide, and we do have some flurries moving across the state that could put down a trace of snow. And then, like Rob had mentioned, we've got a few more shots of snow pushing in potentially Friday and again maybe Sunday.
Okay, well, again, not a big surprise, and Greg has at least broken in the snowblower, so
yeah, you know,
we don't need it every day, but it worked out well for you, Greg.
It did. It's an electric powered, it's a battery powered snowblower, and it's a little smaller than like all my neighbors, so I felt like I had my Fisher Price. I'm like, I'm just pushing my little snowblower around, but it got the job done, and yeah. It specifically cleared out the patch in front of the garage where the city on the sidewalk where the city plows you in. Yeah. So it did the work, and it did it on one charge. So I'm happy.
That's awesome.
I won't be happy for that credit card bill, but I'm happy.
No, but your back and your knees and your heart are all thanking you for that. Yeah. You know,
good Lord. And yeah, I mean, it would take 45 minutes alone just to do that little skirt on front of the house. Mm-hmm. The whole thing took me 45 minutes.
No, this is great. Let's see. Rob in Tigerton says there are some bars in the Tigerton area that serve great pizza. Mm. There's Alicia who writes in, pineapple on pizza isn't my thing, but other people like it.
See, Tony, there you go.
Tony writes in, I feel attacked, rightly so. And then on the text line, let's see, Dana from La Crosse says lots of matzah for frozen pizza. Mm. Yes, my top two are Heggies and lots of matzah. Let's see, Dave from New Berlin. Favorite standalone pizza shop is Ray's Butcher Shop in Greenfield.
Okay.
That's his favorite frozen pizza. Standalone pizza shop is Crossroads 2 in New Berlin. Chain pizza is Marco's, and favorite topping is green peppers.
Ooh, I agree.
If you're ever down in Racine, either one of you, you got to check out two things with pizza. One, Wells Brothers Pizza in Mount Pleasant. People will say it's Racine, but it's actually Mount Pleasant. It was a top 10 pizza place voted in the United States. It's amazing thin crust pizza. And then also, if you ever go to Tenuta's in Kenosha, it's a tiny Italian deli. They have takeaway pizza. It's take and bake. It is the best pizza I've ever done, like that style. Like, it's not frozen. It's fresh, but it is so good. It's fresh toppings, fresh. Everything's made in-house.
Nice. My new favorite deep dish pizza is produced about 10 feet away from me. Ever since I got a cast iron skillet, and Sherry makes dough, makes the pizza crust dough.
Yeah,
and the sauce and toppings that I put in. Oh, my goodness. Oh, so good. Here's Rob coming in from Tigerton. Pickles on pizza is great. What are you people doing to me? Pickles, green peppers, pineapple. What is happening here?
Green peppers? And, you have a problem with green peppers on pizza?
Oh, they're the worst. I get such a gag reflex from those. And Rob, by the way, takes issue, Greg, with the snowblower. You could have hired me to do it, he says. Now, you're a little there's a little distance between Tigerton and Kenosha, so Rob, I'm not sure that Rob would really want that you for a customer.
I'm telling you right now, Rob, if you lived within a easy distance between us, mm-hmm. I would absolutely hire you to do my lawn. Excuse me. I don't like mowing my lawn. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I don't mind plowing the drive, but I would happily give you my money if that were the case. But unfortunately, you live hours away from me.
That is the problem with a statewide show, is yeah. that we're all far flung. We can't just all gather someplace because, again, we would throw Brittany down there. She'd do the weather from down there. We'd just put the show on the road and take Rob with us.
Yeah. Yes.
That would be great.
That'd be fun.
And one more from Alicia, who writes in, green olives and tomatoes.
Gotta There's put the,
so
pump
many
the brakes on that one.
Mm-mm. No? Is it the olives or the tomatoes?
It's the green olives. I love black olives on pizza. Love my go-to is always extra cheese, black olives, mushrooms.
Yes.
That's the one I like.
Okay.
Maybe spinach. Mm-hmm. Throw some spinach on there. But mm-hmm. other than that, I'll take a lot of pizzas, but green olives just ain't my jam. Just ain't my jam.
That little salty bite is just too much. Yeah. I agree.
Brittany, do me one favor. Tell me, or you can show me, you can lift your arms up. Are you wearing a wristwatch at all?
No.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's now 7:17. And I have to say, to Brittany's credit, never, not once has she ever, like, as we're prattling on, looked at her wrist to be like, you know, I got to go. I got other things to do. She has never.
I got weather to weather here, baby.
Drag her along.
Weather. Yep. I love the ride. Thank you, guys.
Well, you bet. Tony says, pizza party, my place. See you in 30 minutes. No, again, right. Ashland, long ways away. But someday we'll do this. Someday. Thank you, Brittany.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
See you. All right. Let's see. Let's check a little bit of sports here at 7:17 because the Milwaukee Bucks were winners over the Toronto Raptors on the road last night. The final was 128-104. Giannis Antetokounmpo got his fourth triple-double of the season, and he did it after getting three stitches during the game to close a cut near the base of his right pinky. Let's see. He had 11 points, 13 assists, 12 rebounds. Damian Lillard scored 25 points. The Bucks are home tomorrow against San Antonio. The Badger men's basketball team, they play tomorrow. No. The Badger men's basketball team plays Friday at home against the Gophers. They played last night in New Jersey and beat Rutgers 75-63. They are now 2-2 in Big Ten Conference play. The Badger women's basketball team plays tonight out west at Washington. Coverage begins at 7:40 on several Civic Media radio stations. And, of course, the Packers play the Eagles in the wild card round of the playoffs on Sunday pregame at 1 o'clock on several Civic Media radio stations. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is Kenny Loggins' 77th birthday today, so we're playing a few Kenny Loggins tunes, including some obscure ones.
Yeah.
Like that one that was a favorite of mine back in the day called Keep the Fire. But the funny thing is, I got to put a link to it someplace. You got to see the video. It is one of those, you know, canned videos where they make it look like they're live on stage, but they're in a studio. And whoever they put in charge of the smoke machine should not have been. It looks like Cheech and Chong produced this video, and you could see him kind of looking like, you can't even see me through all this smoke. He's got the shirt that's unbuttoned down to his navel, of course, and it's just classic.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, well, you found it.
The album cover, too. Just look at the album cover. He looks like He looks like 70s Jesus carrying a fireball. It's just...
That's exactly it. So, Kenny Loggins, keep the fire. Take a look. You'll thank me later. You'll say, wow, videos have come a long way since then.
Thank goodness.
Yes, they have. And that's a good thing as well. That's right. Congressman Mark Pocan will be joining us in just a few minutes here. Tony writes in from Ashland on YouTube. All I can think of with Kenny Loggins is Archer, the TV show, singing Danger Zone all the time.
Danger Zone!
And we'll hear a little bit of that as well before things are said and done. Chad Holmes will be along to wrap up the hour here. All right, so Congressman Pocan will talk about the new session of Congress, so I'm going to take a little time with the new session of the legislature because it began yesterday with the new members of the State Assembly and the State Senate being sworn in. There's a lot of serious work to be done. There is a $4 billion surplus, along with all the rest of the usual state budget decisions that have to be made that have an impact on your lives. Will you be able to have, you know, good schools in your community? Will we have good roads, or will somebody have to campaign on fixing the damn roads again? You know, the filling all the potholes. What about our drinking water, which is threatened with PFAS and other contaminants and runoff and the potential for mining and high capacity wells and everything else that's out there? What about mitigating the impacts of a changing climate as, you know, our Great Lakes shorelines suffer from erosion? These and many more decisions have to be made by state legislators. And it would, of course, in a perfect world, be a great thing if members of both parties could work with one another to say, as Senator Dianne Hesselbein did yesterday, the Senate Democratic leader, we all agree on many of the same things in terms of we want good education, we want good roads, we want these things. So let's work together toward them. And if you were to look at the press releases, as I do, from all the various members, you would see a lot of these similar sentiments. For example, our friend Christian Phelps was sworn in. He's now a member of the Assembly for Wisconsin's 93rd District from the Chippewa Valley. And he talks about, you know, doing, you know, working hard on behalf of his neighbors. He writes, from funding strong public schools, treating health care and housing as human rights, and expanding on Western Wisconsin's long pro-labor tradition, we have a lot more work ahead of us. I pledge to turn our community's vision into reality. So again, people can have differing positions, but it's a matter of how and even whether you want to work with one another. And that does not necessarily seem to be the case over on the other side of the aisle, where the Senate did its business first, fewer members, they have shorter sessions, but they swore in a new president, Mary Felskowski from Tomahawk, and she becomes the first Senate president whose district is entirely north of Highway 29. So there is truly an up north senator who is the leader of that body from a procedural standpoint. But what struck me about her comments included the fact that she said that the part of her primary job is to be a steward of, you know, taxpayer dollars. And from Devin Lemahue, you heard again about sending the surplus back, and as opposed to things that would send Wisconsin backwards and fail liberal policies and things of that nature. And then you had Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who again gave a speech that would be much more welcome at any partisan event like a Republican convention rather than the inauguration of a new legislature where you have family members up in the galleries. And I'm not saying it has to be the West Wing, but they all want the best. They think at least on day one, can we do what we can to pledge to work together? But the remarks by Robin Voss and by Devin Lemahue made clear that, you know, they continue to be as hardened as ever in their commitment to try to govern from the far right and to shut out Democrats every step of the way. Senator Hesselbein and Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer, of course, made clear that there are good ideas on both sides of the aisle, and that good ideas should always get a fair hearing. And that's something we're going to watch out for here at Up North News and Up North News Radio and all across civic media, is that far too often, a lot of ideas from the progressive side of the aisle don't get a lot of media attention, because in a lot of newsrooms, they figure, well, Democrats are in the minority anyway, their bill's not going to pass, so they don't give those stories as much attention as, say, what it is that Robin Voss and Devin Lemahue are doing with their bills. Well, that essentially cheats your audience out of hearing the ideas from your local elected officials, even if they are in the minority. And so we'll work to make sure that you hear about the ideas that come from both sides of the aisle and talk about the areas where common ground can be found. We should be able to do that. And I say that as a former legislator, as a former state senator. There are bills that do pass with bipartisan votes, a lot of smaller bills, you could say. But there's certainly a lot more that could be done, especially with a surplus. As I may have mentioned once or twice here, during my time as a senator, when the Great Recession had just started, we were looking at a $3 billion shortfall. We had to make massive cuts to essential services. So for me to look at this legislature with a $4 billion surplus and say, if Republicans can't find a way to turn this into a win-win, then they really are just craven and putting partisan politics above all else. You and I could divide a $4 billion pie and make everybody happy, everybody, from tax cuts to proper investments in essential services. We'll let you know if this legislature can pull that off. Congressman Pocan is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Pat, you're muted.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Because I'm juggling a few different things here. And I was just saying here that Jude in East Troy, if you want to text us back, because I want to make sure I get the name of your favorite pizza joint right here, because you mentioned that they have a sourdough pizza crust that is delicious, but I'm not quite sure if the place is spelled correctly here, and I want to give them a proper shout-out if need be. All right, let's get back on track here at 7:35 on this Tuesday morning, January 7th. Congressman Mark Pocan standing by to join us as well. Congressman, how are you?
I'm good. They had a little snow in D.C., and you'd think that it was like the Snowmageddon.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know, things don't move nearly as easy here.
Oh no, we've got a colleague in Northern Virginia said the schools were shut down and they were out sledding when it looked like there was, you know, half an inch to an inch of snow tops on there. But some places are just absolutely crippled, and DC is definitely one of them. Yeah. Though thank goodness, I mean, there weren't rioters in the streets as you saw the certification of the electoral votes yesterday. Sure makes a difference when, you know, both sides, when at least one side isn't trying to claim, you know, that they lost only because of cheating. It looked a lot different than 4 years ago out there.
You know, it was, I forgot how boring it was, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we got in there, I think it was about a whole half hour was the process. But, you know, I think the sad part, though, Pat, was, you know, I made a few comments on social media yesterday, and I watch some of the MAGA crowd who are saying, you guys made up the insurrection. None of this happened. And I had video. I had posted. Like, they don't believe video. They don't believe their own eyes of what they saw 4 years ago. Look, you know, we can disagree on ideology, but on basic, like, video and facts, you know, it's sad that some people just are so gullible that they don't even trust their own senses if, you know, Donald Trump or Elon Musk say something different. And you know, I hope people learn better cognitive skills than that soon.
I would certainly like to think so, but there's along with the gullibility are those is the culpability. Those people who are actively engaged in spreading disinformation, saying these things, knowing that other people will believe it. And it leads me to this, and we're going to get to congressional business in a moment here, especially this strategy of trying to put everything into one big bill. But sticking to, for a moment, you know, misinformation and what the voters heard and everything, there is a new article in the New Yorker by Peter Slevin. Well, it came out last week, I should say. It's not new. But it says, how much do Democrats need to change? In Wisconsin, many of the party's candidates fared well, suggesting the presidential loss was not all that it seemed. And again, Mark, I'm not asking you to solve all the woes of the Democratic Party, but, you know, we've all been caught up in the discussion of, you know, is the Democratic brand permanently tarnished? Is it a matter of positions? Is it a matter of messaging? And in this article, you hear from, you know, Greta Neubauer, you hear from congressional candidate Becca Cook, you hear from new assembly candidate Ryan Spahn. And the sense that I get from all of them is, you know, Democratic values are still the values that are closer to most Americans, but there is most definitely a problem conveying that to voters. I'm sensing you agree, but wonder what kind of thoughts you have on what Democrats will need to do differently going forward.
Yeah, I mean, we have an opportunity. We're fortunate. Ben Wickler from Wisconsin is probably the best party chair in the country, and he's running for national DNC chair. And I think we would be wise if he became that, because he gets the ground game, the organizing. You know, when Biden put out a press release last March, the Biden campaign, saying they had 100 campaign offices in 6 swing states, what they didn't tell you was 47 of those were in Wisconsin and 43 predated the Biden campaign. That was Ben Wickler. That's how he campaigns. And it would be smart for us to get back to that, talking to voters, not just when you're asking for their vote. But secondly, you know, let's remember, as the party of FDR, and that was wildly successful for decades, we need to get back to those roots. And if we're not talking about those core economic issues that affect working families, we're not really talking. You know, we lost voters who make 30 to 100,000 this cycle. And Donald Trump gave him a little lip service that he's going to pass a tax bill that's going to only benefit him and Elon Musk and the wealthiest in this country. But we got to go back to what we really believe in, you know, raising the minimum wage, making sure everyone's got health care. Let's get child care far more affordable and accessible. Let's reduce the cost of prescription drugs. We're working on it. We have the bills, but I don't know if we talked about those core issues at the core of our messaging. And I think if we channel our inner FDR, we're going to be a lot better off.
And here's what I think is a very key point on this. You're absolutely right. You've got to work on your core first, your core message, and you don't want to get knocked off your message. But here to me seems to be the big hang up with voters, at least some of the voters who say, well, Democrats are just about identity politics. They want to talk about trans people and LGBTQ and everything else. And it's like, no. They're not the ones leading with this. You've got Republicans leading with these anti-trans bills and, you know, Kamala's for they, them, not you, us. And there are people that say, well, Democrats need to talk about these things less. There's nothing wrong with standing up against bullying. It's just that then people go, oh, Democrats are the party of identity politics. No, we're the ones of defending the people who are being bullied, the people who are being left behind, you know, working wage families and everything like that. And that's a real dilemma for Democrats. I don't think the answer is to turn your back on defending people who are being bullied for political purposes.
No, in fact, you know, the first, I think, dozen bills that the Republicans put in a rule when we did the rules package for the year so we could start voting on things had nothing to do with reducing costs for Americans, which was, I think, the dominant issue, the economy. Going into the November election, yet they have issues about kids, you know, who's playing sports, trans girls, etc. Look, those are issues they're leading with because they want to find wedge issues. You know, I think the Republican governor of Utah put it best when, you know, they started talking their legislature passed a bill to ban trans girls in sports. And what he said was, look, I'm vetoing this bill because here's the enormity of the problem in Utah, which is not that different than Wisconsin or anywhere else. 84,000 kids in the K-12 system, three were trans. One of the three was a trans girl trying to play sports, a girl in sports. And the legislature is passing legislation for that because they're trying to use it as a wedge political issue. We got to be less gullible. We got to do a little more critical thinking. I think part of the problem, Pat, is people don't get their information through traditional news sources like they used to. Democrats have to get better about talking on some of these other platforms. And I think that's something that all spectrums of the party kind of came out of November agreeing we need to do more of.
All right, let's turn to then what is going to happen in this Congress. And now, again, this is a process thing, and most people don't want to hear about process, but I find it fascinating that the folks on the Republican side who love to rail against, you know, massive bills, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law and everything else like that, are themselves, it sounds like they're going to try to put all of their eggs in one basket, one mammoth bill with tax cuts and border security and everything else, and try to ram this one bill through where all the Republicans have to stay together in the House and the Republicans stay together in the Senate and they can get it done. And I'm not the world's biggest expert on politics, but Mark, my thought on that is, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah. The rumor we're hearing is, you know they're going to lose a couple members. They're going to have some special elections. So they're hoping April-ish, by if they have the special elections called and held by then, that they can do this. So they want to do it in the first 100 days as well, right? They got a lot of little things they're trying to check off with this. The problem is the Republican caucus is, you know, a mess, a hot mess at best. And because of that, they have a hard time passing anything. We couldn't even do the speaker vote again without having to have a long pause while they went and had Donald Trump call people and twisting arms and whatever else they gave away in order to do it. So, you know, I understand why they have to do one big bill with everything important, because otherwise they can only pass this crazy fringe stuff that they seem to pass. The problem is, you know, that's a difficult needle to thread sometimes, you know, because they may have a lot of people in the right place with them on the border, but when they get to the tax bills, and these are going to, again, not benefit the average American in any way, that's a harder sell. But Elon Musk is kind of salivating over his cut on it. So it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, I would say invest in popcorn futures by April and you'll be in good shape.
Yes, because the timeline they're talking about is April, maybe May at the latest, Speaker Johnson said. And in my mind, I mean, if you're not moving this as fast as humanly possible, if you're saying April, May, I mean, you really mean October, which means next February, and on it goes.
You've been here before, Pat.
I have seen this movie before. Yeah. Yes, I have. To which I come back to with all intended naivete is, why don't you pick one or two things where you can actually get something done, where you can maybe find a little bipartisanship? I don't know. Maybe that immigration reform border security package that was bipartisan before Trump scuttled it. I don't know why they wouldn't just make a few cosmetic changes to say that it's now their bill and pass that through. But it sounds like nothing like that could possibly happen, even though it seems like low-hanging fruit.
It's not the MAGA way, right? I mean, all last session, they had to pass bills with their votes, majority of their votes, 218. They couldn't come and get any Democratic votes, and I don't think that's going to change. In fact, last time, they even broke the deals that the Speaker made with Democrats in order to move bills forward. So, you know, I think it's just going to be a bit of a mess. You know, hopefully we do this with the least damage to people back home. That's my goal, to try to make sure that while they have a Republican trifecta, that they're not hurting working people too much in the process. But, you know, we're going to have to all be very, very, very much watching what's happening. And Pat, you know, we'll try to share with you all too, you know, information so that if people need to call their elected officials, if people don't do that right now, they should make that a New Year's resolution, you know, because it's going to be important. Those calls, I get a register every week of how many people, you know, from your days, you know, the calls that come in, that is helpful to help persuade an elected official. We need to do that to make sure that they're not, because if they do a giant tax break, if I can, just this is my geeky rant, a tax break is a tax expenditure. It's money that's not going towards healthcare or education or veterans. It's just going to go to rich people so that they can pay less in taxes. And that's not what they promised us. They promised us lower costs and a whole lot of other things. So we have to be ready to be very aggressive in calling our elected officials.
This next part goes a bit beyond Congress, but I have to ask, how concerned are you the way that I am that, I mean, starting on the afternoon of January 20th and for days afterwards, that Trump is going to try to do so much to bypass Congress in terms of executive orders, and that things are going to get real confusing real fast with what Trump can and can't get away with and how much of this ends up, you know, getting done in court. I just see the potential for such a mess, and I wonder if you anticipate that as well.
If the experience is the same as last time Trump was president, 90% of what he says is bravado and 10% is real. The art is figuring out what 10% is real, right? And in the executive orders, he can do things and get around Congress in many areas other than kind of spending. It's a little tougher there, but they're only temporary while he's president. But that can have a terrible effect to people in the interim. I'm guessing there'll be a lot of legal challenges and other things that go on to slow those things down. But, you know, that's what we're here for. That's what we're ready to fight back where we can. But my guess is the legal system may be where you see some of the initial actions to try to block those things.
Yeah, we probably will. Let's see. On YouTube, Alicia Saunders writes in, "We appreciate your hard work, Congressman Pocan." And she says, "Believe me, Congressman Weed will be hearing from me regularly." So let's go ahead and make a common practice of that for folks. And as we talked about in the break, now, not every politician likes to do this. Asking people what their favorite this or that is, but since we've been on a pizza kick today, do you have back home either a favorite pizza place to go to or a favorite frozen brand? Where is the Pocan pizza preference?
Well, I'm about 12 minutes outside Mount Horeb, I think the Grumpy Troll has a pretty good pizza if you're going to go out to eat. But I got to admit, and I don't know if it's from Wisconsin or not, so I'm probably going to get in trouble. I shouldn't even say this, but lots of matzah pizza.
That's one. Wisconsin. Yes, it is.
I like that because you know what? It's got lots of matzah, and I can understand that. So, you know,
yes,
that's one of my favorites.
Greg, what's going to be the name of our new podcast that we do on the side with the congressman here?
The Pocan Pizza Preference.
The Pocan Pizza Preference.
Pat, you're actually starting a podcast this month.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you about that next time as well because we're out of time here. But that's so great, Mark Pocan. Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes from the conveniently named Chad Holmes program that you hear on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Coming up next on that fine station and the Civic Media app joins us now. Mr. Holmes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing terrific.
Good. I'm going to have you weigh in on pizza. That was really not the intention of today's show, but it's our topic in our daily newsletter, and it took on a life of its own. And you'll recall, folks, in the last segment, I asked Jude from East Troy to send in that favorite pizza, and Jude went ahead and sent a photo of it. It actually is called Cedar Teeth Pizza with a sourdough crust. And so I went and looked it up from an old On Milwaukee article about it. Listen to this at Cedar Teeth. The Smashed Potato Pie, a daring and genius mix of garlic, buttermilk, mashed potatoes, sharp cheddar, bacon, scallions, and dollops of sour cream on a sourdough rosemary crust. There's the peanut gallery topped with roasted broccoli and cauliflower florets, sharp cheddar, toasted sesame seeds, and an Asian peanut sauce. There's the bronze fonds, Swedish-style homemade sausages with fresh basil and mushrooms. I don't know who is the first one to coin the phrase, shut up and take my money. but there are just some places where it really seems to appeal. Chad, now we get to put you on the spot up in Wausau. What do you like for pizza?
Well, it's been this way since I was in high school for almost 40 years now. It's Sam's Pizza. It is the only place Got locations both near where I live over in Schofield, and also one here in Wausau that's been forever. That has been the place ever since I was a kid, and it continues to be. It is still the one that I've had for many years in this business. As you well know, being in this business, you don't make the greatest money for most of your life.
No, you do not.
And when I would be feeling really, you know, get the chest out there on payday, I would celebrate by giving myself a Sam's Pizza, maybe after a game, order it up, drive through, then on a late Friday night, be able to really enjoy it. So Sam's Pizza here in the Wausau area has been it for decades.
I like that.
There you go.
Michael Intosa says his favorite local is Sugar River Pizza in New Glarus. Favorite frozen is Pothole Pizza from Quick Trip. Loves sausage, and he also says pineapple and ham rules. Craig, did I put you on the spot as far as a pizza place or a type out there in Kenosha?
When I mentioned Wells Brothers, that is Racine establishment. Okay. When we're in Kenosha at home, we order from Vallejo's, which is right by our house. It's just perfect, and it's really good the next day too if you want to have some leftovers. And the place I'm trying to think of right now, there's two places we really like getting it from, but Vallejo's is always my first choice. It's a thin, it's not a thin crust, but it's a thinner crust. And it's just the cheese is so delicious and so tasty.
Well, if I hadn't already bragged about my deep dish pizza here at home, I wouldn't be reading what Mr. Mathers is putting out there. But Luke Mathers, you can tell this guy watches Top Chef. Our house-made stellar homemade pie this weekend was with a garlic chili pepper base, roasted pumpkin, prosciutto, tons of Wisconsin mozzarella and Gouda on homemade dough. This guy...
Just become a chef testant already. Jeez.
Oh, look at that. We got Greg using the word chef testant.
I'm using this it in huge. Rage.
Luke, it's a sign. You got to become a pizza chef. That's the only path. That's the only logical career path forward for you at this point.
The other place is Humano's in Pizzeria in Kenosha. Very, very good. Oh my goodness.
How are you hanging in with all the road trips for all of the basketball games that you're covering? A day, I believe.
Well, I tell you, this global warming stuff is really helping me out. I remember the old days where I would just be, white knuckling it, down the road to Stevens Point or Wisconsin Rapids or wherever it may be. And nowadays we never get snow anymore around here. Last year was
don't tempt the weather gods out there with that kind of talk. I tell you.
No, it's been amazing here because I just still remember back in the day where, sound like the old guy again, but it just
well,
used to be
welcome. It's nice to have you here.
I know. It's like, but I mean, it used to be where it's always snow everywhere, and in the last couple of years, it's been so rare. If you got your snowmobile, you may as well sell it because you're not using it right now. Last year, same thing as well. And I'm not a winter person, but knowing that we live around here, I feel for the folks that have that snowmobile in the garage. They're cross country skis, wanting to get out there, and unfortunately, we're not getting much. It does make my drives a little bit easier, but I'm not selfish in that way. So.
There you go. You've got Civic Media Political Director Dan Schaefer on the program today.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of delve into it. I'm going to use my political science degree and go mano-a-mano against Schaefer here today. see whether or not I can start my own little political newsletter.
Well, I would point folks to that recent article in The New Yorker basically says, look, Democrats are right on the issues. They don't have to change the issues, but they sure have to change the way that they talk about them. And so I'll be curious to hear, what Dan and others have to say about that. And a little bit of curling today as well. Mr. Sports Guy.
Well, gotta be positive around our community. We are very fortunate to have this curling club, the Wausau Curling Club, that has so many great events, and they're getting some real big events coming in. So we're gonna bring a couple folks in, let folks know about what's happening here in the month of January, and loosen it up just a little bit.
All right, and Greg Bach has a special guest on today with Matt and Air on Air.
10:30, we have political correspondent and genius of the radio, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, on.
Ooh, we're gonna be talking yourselves about all... warned. There you go.
Have a lot of fun.
Chad Holmes, 98.9 WXCO, coming up next, also on the Civic Media app. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you, guys.
Safe travels. Greg's back in a couple hours from Matinera and Air. We'll see you then. And thanks to all of you. Thanks to Mark Pocan and Sharita Booker for being our guests as well. Oh, Roger in Stevens Point wants a shout-out to Portesi Pizza and Cheese Fries and Bill's Pizza in the Stevens Point area. Thank you for that late ad. Up North News is from Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.